Hi, Gohar. Thanks for joining us today here on IPN.
Hi, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So you're in New York City,
I
up
am,
there.
yes.
And how's it been for you during the pandemic?
It's been actually really busy, kind of strange to be always at home because before the pandemic, I would teach Skype students at home, but also half my time I would go into Manhattan and teach in person. So since March 16th, I believe, everything closed down and all of those in-person students also became Skype students. So I haven't ridden the subway in 2 months. I haven't really like gone anywhere, and that's really strange because you always are part of the system. Like you have your Metro card. I haven't refilled my Metro card. So getting used to not leaving the house except for like essential reasons has been unusual. But now it's just normal. It feels like, okay, I have more time, less commuting.
And your teaching schedule has stayed pretty full. I mean, I had to get on your wait list to schedule this interview.
You know, I was surprised. At first, I thought a lot of students wouldn't be able to continue lessons because of everything going on. But I actually teach a lot of adults, and they do it as a hobby. And a lot of them have just transitioned to Skype. A few of them had some family obligations they had to take care of, so we kind of stopped lessons for a while until everything is over. But yeah, it's still, I basically have exactly the same students I had before and a few extra. I think people have found themselves having extra time and they're like, hey, I'm going to pick up guitar. And they want to take some lessons. So I'm really lucky because a lot of my colleagues can't say the same in terms of their teaching and everything, especially if they're teaching young kids and with the school, everything's changing. And I was able to keep the same busy schedule.
So you had experience teaching online before this happened, so you were kind of an advantage for some people, but how has it been making the transition to exclusively online teaching? What do you miss about teaching in person?
Honestly, in terms of just the personal interaction is really nice because I have really lovely students that over time become friends, even though you're in a teacher-student relationship, but still they become friends after you know them for so many years. It's the sometimes it's the quality of the teaching that you can do. The person who has been taking Skype lessons all along, they usually do it because there is no one in their area. So it's really their only way out. So there's this limitation where I can't just reach over and, let's say, fix a finger or the hand position or even play with them at the same time to fix a rhythmic section or whatever it is. And for students who we've had that contact, that's what's lacking. Like I can no longer just play with them. And we were used to having that in the lessons, and now that's not possible. I would have to play and then I have to repeat and not really do it simultaneously. But other than that, it's amazing. You get used to this two-dimensional communication, and it doesn't really make too much of a difference, except from the professional standpoint of like not being able to really be present and be in contact, like actually touch the hands, fix the hands.
And you will actually be teaching this summer as part of Interlochen Online. You yourself are an Academy alum, but you'll be teaching as part of Interlochen Online this summer as well.
Yeah, that would be really fun. I was really excited when I was asked to do that, and it would be a pleasure. I have taught at the camp once in person. I never actually went to the camp. I was only an academy student, and I witnessed how crazy camp would be in person. I'm wondering how it will work out online, but I think the appreciation, the enthusiasm from the students and from the teachers will basically keep it the same, minus the uniform. Although I heard you got rid of the uniform. Is
Well,
that
we got rid
true?
of the uniform during the academy year. It's
Oh,
still
okay.
during
The
camp.
camp still has to wear the socks?
don't remind me.
Ah, okay. Because I made a joke with the guitar teacher. I asked him, like, are they going to have to wear socks on camera? Make sure they have the uniform on the other end at home.
Now, wait a minute. Most of the classical guitarists I've met often wear really funky socks because your sock is usually visible when you are playing. Does that limit you with the uniform then?
For me, well, I would never do it on stage. I don't know. I'm more of a like on the classy part, very conservative on stage. I like wearing gowns. There'll be no socks with my sandals. And then if I wear socks, they probably match my shoes or my pants. That's just my style.
Okay, yeah, no socks and gowns.
No, I haven't experimented with fun socks, but I have some students who have guitar socks, which are really fun. And when they sit and they put the footstool on the and the leg on the footstool, and the little bit of guitar is exposed, it's always fun.
Well, go Harvard Onion. You are going to play some music for us right now, by Jorge Cardozo. Tell us about the work we're going to hear.
This is a milonga, so it's an Argentinian dance form. The milongas are like tangos, a predecessor to tango. And the composer, he's Argentinian. I believe he was also either, I keep forgetting, and I keep looking it up, and then again forgetting. He was either a dentist or a medical doctor, as well as a guitarist, an accomplished guitarist who performed and he composes, but that's not his main profession. But so this is one of his Latin American pieces, Milonga.
This is Notes from Home from Interlaken Public Radio. Our guest today is Gohar Vardanyan. We heard her performing Milonga. by Jorge Cardoso. And Gohar, you mentioned earlier that you usually wear gowns when you perform and no socks. Are you wearing socks today?
I am wearing socks today. And no, I do not teach with pajamas on the bottom and pretty tops on the top. I actually get dressed. I
Okay.
think because as a guitar teacher, you do sometimes have to show like the way you're sitting and everything. So it's not always waist and up. So I'm wearing fully normal clothes with socks. No shoes, though.
Well, I wanted to talk about some of your teachers and some of your teaching. So you studied with John Wunsch here at the
I
Interlochen
did.
Arts Academy, and you've also studied with Sharon Isbin and Manuel Barueco, a few. I gotta ask, like, how do you go into a lesson with somebody like that and not just be starstruck the whole time?
I think, well, you are, I guess, a little bit, but at the same time, you get to know that person. And for me, I'm never really starstruck, even like if I saw Hollywood, I don't know. For example, when I was there, next to me in the dorms lived Rumor Willis, which was Bruce Willis's and Demi Moore's daughter. And everybody else was like, oh my God, I gotta be friends with this girl. And for me, she was just a person, and her parents were people who worked very hard for what they're doing. So I wasn't really starstruck, but these teachers, these are people that I grew up listening to. Their CDs were what I would reference all the time. So it was amazing to actually sit in front of the person, Manuel Barrueco and Sharon Isbin and Antigone Goni before John Wunsch, and have them actually comment on your playing. When you were trying to mimic them on a CD and try to play like them, here they are giving you feedback of how they made it sound like what you hear on a CD. So it was more motivational, and it was more that I wanted to work really hard to not impress, because it's very hard to impress a person like that. There is no impressing them. They can do whatever they're amazing. So it's not about impressing, but it's just to really internalize everything they're saying and trying as hard as possible to do everything and all the feedback that you're getting. So it made me work really hard because there was all that respect towards the legends of your instrument.
Now, Gohar, as a teacher, you have written four books so far, all published by Melbay. And I was sad to learn that your book called Killer Technique was not your own title, that it's a
No,
series.
it was pre-existing. Yes.
Can I ask what entails Killer Technique in the classical guitar, or do I need to buy the book to get the whole book?
No, it's well, the I think Killer Technique, when everyone reads it, it's when I think of technique, I think of your tools, which are your hands, and also at the same time your musical knowledge and everything that comes into play. But having these tools that can do everything that you want to do. So you have to have the right tool for the job. And so when I was thinking of exercises for that book, I went into guitar repertoire and I looked through technical passages that were difficult to execute, and I broke them out and I made them into exercises, simplified them, made them into repetitive loops so that people can concentrate on a specific little technique that, even though it came from one piece, you will probably encounter it in bazillion other pieces. Something of that pattern will come up somewhere else. So killer technique for me is technique that doesn't hold you back from being as musical as you humanly can.
My interest was also piqued by your book of Flamenco Guitar for Beginners. So when one begins learning flamenco guitar, what does one need to already be able to play classical guitar at a certain level before doing beginner flamenco technique?
No, well, that book was meant for classical guitar because I'm a classical guitarist. I played flamenco when I was young for many years, but then I stopped when I was concentrating on flamenco. I think flamenco guitarists, they only start with flamenco. They never even really play classical, a lot of them. Some of them might do it parallel for educational purposes or just because they love their pieces. So you don't need to have classical to start flamenco because they're very different. But they are playing on it's deceiving because the instrument looks exactly the same. It's nylon strings, the shape is the same, but even the instrument is actually different in terms of how close the strings are to the fretboard, for example. On the classical guitar, the action, that's what we would call it, is a lot higher, so the sound is more clean. It is more difficult to play, like left hand wise, you have to press a little harder on a classical guitar. On a flamenco guitar, this is like the most simple difference. The action is way closer to the strings are way closer to the fretboard. So sometimes when you hear like flamenco, it sounds rattly a little bit. It buzzes, and that's totally accepted. It's part of that sound to have a more percussive attack, and a more an advanced even just the way the instrument is built. The attack on a flamenco guitar, you play a note and it immediately just puts it out. There's no delay. On a classical guitar, especially like the modern instruments and the kind that I have, it has like this really heavy delay on the sound. I play a note and it feels like it's late coming out. And it just has that more pianistic sound, which isn't suitable for flamenco. Like you couldn't play those really fast, aggressive, percussive passages in flamenco on a classical guitar. It just wouldn't support that speed. And vice versa, on a flamenco guitar, classical music can sound a little messy because notes can buzz, the sound won't be so pure. So that difference you will not see. It just looks exactly like the same instrument. Some flamenco guitars are made from lighter wood, like maple on the back, instead of rosewood, which is fairly common for classical guitars. So the technique is also different, because in classical guitar we are so concentrated on like the purity of sound and the clarity and everything. We have to be very careful how we hold our hand, how we approach the string. In flamenco, I feel like it's a little bit more forgiven if you have a more harsher sound sometimes. It's almost part of the piece. You don't always want to have pure pearly notes coming out. So, but I feel like flamenco guitarists have incredible technique. Sometimes, in terms of speed and power, they have better technique than classical guitarists. In terms of maybe the clarity, classical guitarists can say, like, oh, but we play cleaner. But for a classical guitarist, to learn some flamenco is incredibly beneficial because you can develop that speed, the power that classical pieces just won't give you as much, like that little edge. So that book was meant for a classical guitarist who wants to dip their toes into flamenco. It's very, very basic, introduces them to strums, or what they call rasgueiros in flamenco. In classical guitar, we play Spanish pieces all the time. They're classical, quote unquote, pieces for guitar, but their roots are in flamenco. So those strumming patterns, if you know how it's done in flamenco, they sound more authentic using that pattern rather than like an up and down kind of with your finger, the classical way of playing the strumming.
Gohar Vardanian, thank you so much for joining us today here at Interlochen Public Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.